We worship you this day.
It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Transmitting from 1,000 feet above Dry Prong, Louisiana, to all of Senla.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused. And let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, would you get it and stand with me and go to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Amen. The 6th chapter, I know, is a familiar verse of scripture for many of us. And because Isaiah is very powerful, has a very powerful way of writing, and it's one of my favorite books because if you found the book of Isaiah and you didn't have anything else, you could still find salvation, because he gave us the first view of our Savior. Amen. And he gave us an understanding of what he came to do. Amen. Amen. When you have Isaiah, the 6th chapter, I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. 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 When we began, when we ended the year, when we began this year, God had just laid it upon my heart to talk about worship. And to worship means to show an object what it is worth to you. Many people worship a lot of things. A lot of folks worship their houses, and they won't invite you over. They worship their cars, and they stay home on Sunday and wash them. Amen, somebody. Amen. They won't even let you sit in the car. Amen. Some worship people. Amen. Because those are the ones that keep them separate from God. Amen. Some worship money, because we can go all the way with you, but don't ask for some money. Oh, yeah. Come on, somebody. And so we as human beings, we are designed to worship. Amen. If, you know, the atheists claim that there is no God, but they worship themselves. Amen. And so therefore, man, if they don't know what to worship, they'll find something to worship. Amen. You got Wiccans that worship nature. They worship the trees and things like that. So you men will find something to worship. So God says, let me reveal myself to man so that they'll know that I intend for them to worship me. Amen. That's what God said. And so when we begin to think about worship and talk about worship, you got to understand that worship is very, very important in our relationship with God. Matter of fact, God created us to do three things. He created us to work. Amen. In the book of Genesis, you'll find that he did not let it rain on the ground or did not water the ground because he did not have a man to work or to till the ground. And then when he did have a man, he let it happen. Amen. He created us to witness, to be a witness for him, a witness that he is alive and well. Amen. And he called us and created us to worship, to have a communion, a fellowship, and to worship him. Amen. And so saying that, you know, when you think about worship, and if you go all the way back, some folks say, well, you know, I really don't like to get into all that worship stuff. Maybe I just hear a word or read my Bible or I watch it on TV. But the Bible gives us an understanding that even if there were no sin, we would still have to worship. Amen. Because before Adam and Eve sinned, they worshiped. Amen. Cain and Abel worship after the fall. But if there were no sin and we didn't have to preach this gospel, we would still have to worship. Amen. Because once we are finished preaching and we all get into the presence of God, even though there won't be any preaching and the word of God will be visible to us, Jesus will be revealed to us, we will still have to worship. Come on and say amen now. That's how important worship is to God. Amen. Worship was so important that when Israel was in Egypt and became oppressed to the point that they could not worship God, God told Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Not just let them go, but let them go to the wilderness so that they can worship me. That's how important. God wants you free to worship. So knowing all of this and understanding all of this, God has given me a thought for this morning. And, you know, I love to preach from the New Testament. The Old Testament, I believe, are lessons that we learn. Amen. But today I want to use for a thought, a worship experience to write about. Amen. Do you have a worship experience that you could write about? Something that you got your little journal out and say, I got to write down my experience with God on today. Come on and say amen. We should have worship experiences to write about. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes you have experience with people. We do it all the time, and we write down, you know, Joey came over and we went out to the movies and had an awesome time, or we went out to this and we did that. We write about those things. But we need to have an experience with God that we can write about. Isaiah had an experience with God that he could write about because he had something significant happened in his life around the time Uzziah died. Amen. Now, when we begin to look at this, you got to understand, first of all, that Isaiah was of the priestly lineage, but he was also a prophet. Amen. And that's why he was in the temple. Amen. And let's look at this. Let's go ahead and get into the word of the Lord, the scriptures. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Let's stop right there. He says, now something happened, first of all, in the year King Uzziah. Uzziah to Isaiah meant uncle. He could have been a relative of his. But the real thing to understand about Uzziah is that Uzziah brought stability and security to Israel when they had been so unstable. And he said, in the year that the one who brought prosperity and peace we hadn't seen since the reign of Solomon, we haven't seen our country flourish. He did so many things. He started projects, the buildings, and Israel just did so good under his reign. And he reigned for about 52 years. And he says that in that year that he died, and we hate to see people pass on, right? We hated to see Michael Jackson die. Come on now, somebody. We hated to see James Brown go. When people do something that you like them to do, then you hate to see them pass on. Amen. I'm trying to get to where you are to bring you to where I am. Amen. And so he said, the person that helped us out so much, that helped give us all these programs to make our country so much better, in the year that he died, I was down, but I was still at church. Some of us, we get down in the dumps, two steps from the blues, and we don't want to go to church. We don't want to worship. Amen. I just don't feel like being bothered with people. Well, it's not that I don't want to be bothered with people. I need to be getting in the presence of God. And I'll go through whatever I have to go through if it's through people to get in God's presence. Come on and say amen. And so I'm not going to be so shallow to say I don't want to go to church and I don't want to be bothered. But I got to get to a place where I'm saying I want to get in the presence of God. And if it takes going to the place where people are, amen, then I'm going to go wherever God is. The first thing he did, he saw a vision. When you have a worship experience, God shows you some things. Amen. God shows you, first of all, he shows you who he is. When he saw God, he saw the person of God. He says in the year that King Uzziah died, he said that I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. He revealed his personality. He revealed his person and his presence to him. He said that I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. That lets us know that God was telling Isaiah, look, even though the king died, I'm still the King of Kings. I'm still sitting on the throne. Come on and help me today. I'm still sitting on the throne. So it doesn't matter who passes out of your life and who leaves your life, but what you need to realize is that God is still where he was when they were there. Come on and say amen. So it does not matter who's not with you. It doesn't matter who's thrown in the towel on you. Amen. Doesn't matter if they passed away and died. Just know that you keep looking up to God and realize that he's still sitting on the throne. Oh, yeah, when you begin to worship, you start realizing that God is still where he said he was. He's still the King of Kings. He's still the Lord of Lords. And then he says he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He began to see the Shekinah glory, the train of the Lord. The place was filled with smoke. Come on and say amen. And he said that the Lord was high and lifted up. He was letting them know, God was letting him know in his vision that he is higher than anybody else. He's higher than any situation. He's far better, far greater than anything that you can think of. And he was high and what? Lifted. We got to learn how to lift the Lord up in the house of God. And his train filled the temple. In other words, there was he came in and he filled the place up. Then in verse 2, above it stood the seraphims. One had six wings with twain. He covered his face and covered his feet, and then he flew with the other two. Now, the seraphim is a fiery being. He is a fiery being, and the seraphim will put you in the mind when we talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit. He was round about the throne of God. And look at this. He said, with two wings, he covered his face. Even the fiery seraphims realize that they're not holy enough to look at God in his face. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, and with twain he covered his feet. The seraphim knew that I'm not holy and good enough to stand. Come on and say amen. Before God in his presence. Amen. But then he said, with two he did fly. And then he said, and they cried one to another, and they called him holy, the Lord of hosts. And he said, the earth is full of his glory. The seraphim, he saw the seraphim with a testimony and a worship. Come on. We need to go in the presence of God. We need to go in the house of God, and we need to have a testimony. We need to have something that we can say about God. Amen. We need to have some worship going on. If you're going to come in his presence, you need to know how to worship him. Sometimes we don't get to where we need to be. We don't get in the presence of God because we don't know how to open up our mouth and cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the earth. We need to know that you got to open up your mouth. And the Bible says with the fruit of your lips, you need to offer up the sacrifice of praise. These seraphims knew, in order for me to stay in this presence, in order for me to stay right here where I am, I need to be able to give God what's due to him. He's worthy of my praise. He saw a vision. They cried one to another. Who are you telling about God? Are you crying one to another that God is good? Are you telling somebody that God is able? That he'll bring you out, that he'll give you peace, that he'll heal your body? Or will we just get back and we sympathize? Well, no, well, baby, I'm sorry. You know what? Well, you better go on to the doctor. No, I need to lay hands on you and pray. The Bible said that if I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Come on, somebody. We need to learn what to do, but you can't learn it unless you're in the presence of an almighty God. I can't do it unless I have the power of God with me, the glory of God resting upon me. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all can be quiet today, but I'm going to preach anyhow. Verse 4 said, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried in the house, and it was filled with smoke. He saw these things. He had a vision of what happened, and he said, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. We got to understand something, that we need to let out a cry that shakes the doorpost. Amen. And because you know what? You got some doors that's been closed on you. But until you open up your mouth, those doors are not going to be open. Come on and say amen. I need to rattle the doors on this. Come on. I got a job I've been trying to get. I need to rattle the doors. I've been trying to get my foot in the door. I need to shake the, come on. I need to shake the post until I praise him and it comes off the hinge. Come on and say amen. Well, let me give you an example in the Bible, if I may. Hold your spot right there and look. The Bible says in the book of Acts that Paul and Silas was in the jail, and at midnight they sang and prayed to God. And all of a sudden, the doors did what? We got to learn how to praise God, because once you learn how to praise him, there are some doors that have been shut tight in your life. But when you learn how to praise God, those doors will. I got to shake it open. Come on, tell somebody, I'm going to shake them doors open. I've been trying to get in for a long time, but I'm about to shake the doors open with my cry out to the Lord. I'm going to praise him until something moves. I'm going to praise him until some things change in my life. I'm going to praise him We need to praise him. We need to give him the glory until the smoke fills the temple. They can't see you. They can't see who you really are. All they see is God in front of you. Oh, come on and say amen. Till the smoke fills the place. I need to praise him till you don't see who I am. I need to praise him till you forget about me and realize it's the Shekinah glory of the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him when you learn how to worship. Now, that's a worship experience to write about. Hallelujah. He had a vision. But then he realized how vile he was. Verse 5 says, then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He realized how vile he was. He said, woe is me. I'm in trouble now. I'm about to die. If you see the Lord, you say, oh, Lord, you're coming to get me. That's what Isaiah was saying. He was saying, now, as I die, you know how it is when people in your family die. You don't know who next. They say death come in threes. You know what I'm saying. And then you say, Lord, are you coming after moi? Isaiah was saying, I'm about to die because, and I ain't right. I know I ain't right. That's the first thing we think about when it looks like we might be about to die. I know, God, I know I ain't right. Lord, forgive me for all the stuff I did. And you always start doing that. That's what Isaiah was doing. Because no man had seen God and lived. Oh, come on and say amen. But Isaiah was saying here, he said that, woe is me. I'm vile. I'm a man of unclean lips. And guess what? I'm amidst the people. The folks I hang around, they ain't right either. When you have a worship experience with God, you realize that you got a ways to go. When you have a worship experience with God, you realize you messed up. And the folks you trust in that you think is all that, they messed up too. You realize that you're no good and everybody else may not be either. When you get in a place and you see God and his holiness and you feel the righteousness of God, the love of God, you realize, God, I haven't done enough to serve you. I haven't done enough to praise you. I haven't done enough to give myself to you. And so, God, I'm a wretch undone. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm defeated here. Lord, you're the King of glory. Hallelujah. And so he began to say, I'm a man of unclean lips. Most of us got the same problem that Isaiah has. We have the same problem. Why? Because we say anything before thinking. We open up our mouth, and Jesus even told us, he said, it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but what comes out of a man. And so Isaiah was saying, Lord, I know I said some stuff I shouldn't have said. I've been gossiping, lying, cussing. I've been talking and saying some stuff I shouldn't have been talking about. And so therefore, Lord, my lips are way unclean. I'm not worthy to be up in here praising you. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. But then all of a sudden, in my vileness, God looks at me and still blesses us. Come on, somebody. Because the Bible says in verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken off with the tongs from the altar. And look at this. He's laid it upon his lips. The first thing God will do in your life is he'll change your language. Why do you think people always say, man, I got to stop that cussing. I got to stop that lie. The first thing God, when his spirit moves on you, you want to start talking right. You want to stop lying. You want to stop cursing. Come on and say amen. You want to stop gossiping. And so therefore, Isaiah realized that, hey, if I'm going to be used of God, I got to let him do what he got to do in me. And so all of a sudden, he said that the fiery seraphim went and got off of the altar a coal, and he put it on his lips. Basically, he cauterized his lips. What do you mean? Cauterization is something they used in the old day when they had a wound. They would take and they would cauterize. They would put heat up a knife or heat up some metal, and they would send it to begin the healing process. What God does when you get in worship, all your wounds that you got wide open, he begins the healing process. Come on and say amen. all the stuff that's laying wide open in your life. Yeah, I was hurt. Yeah, they did me wrong. My heart is broke. I'm wounded in my spirit. But the seraphim, come on, the Holy Ghost of God, he begins the healing process in your life. When you begin to worship the Lord, he begins a healing process because he wants to be able to use you, and he can't use you while you're wounded. He can't use you while you're still picking at the sore. He can't use you when you're saying, look at what they did to me. You need to be like Jesus. I no longer have any wounds and sores, but Thomas, come see. I got some scars where I was injured, but I'm not sore about it. I'm over it now. Come on and say amen. Anybody in here got some stuff that people done to you, some stuff that you've been hurt about, some things that it seemed like a wound to you, but you got to realize today that I can't keep going back licking my wounds. I got to let him heal me, and sometimes it take a little bit of heat. Come on and say amen. Sometimes it take a little pain to heal the pain, and sometimes what God will do is give you some pain so that you can get over your pain so that he can use you. Help me in here, Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, we got some people in here that's wounded. And even though you're wounded, don't worry. God is trying to heal you because he wants to use you. He wants to show people that are doubting that I'm real. He wants to show people who are like doubting Thomas and say, I won't believe it unless I can touch him. Oh, yeah, they want to touch you, but if you're still sore, you won't let them touch me. If you had some kind of sore, some kind of injury, and somebody get close to it, you jump back. But God is saying, I don't want you to jump back. I want you to step forward. I want you to press. Come on and say amen. Forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth to what is before me and press toward the mark for the prize of the higher calling in Christ Jesus. Can I get one or two witnesses that said, I'm going to press even if I'm in some mess? That say, I'm going to press even though I feel the stress. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. Glory to God. It came from the altar. What we got to understand here is that the altar is where the alterations take place. That's where your life get altered. Oh, yeah, it look like I just don't fit. But now all of a sudden I've been to the altar enough, I fit in. This church thing just wasn't for me at first, but now I feel like I'm a part of it. Oh, yeah, I'm just not your average. I just didn't feel like I'd be your average Christian. But all of a sudden, God makes me feel comfortable because he just tailor-made my life. Come on and say amen. And now he's made the alterations to where I'm comfortable being a Christian. So now I can speak up when other folks telling their nasty joke. Come on, I can talk. Come on and say amen. I can encourage folks instead of just being quiet and walking away. I can open up my mouth. I can be bold now. Come on and say amen here. He altered me because I had a worship experience. Do you have one that you can write about? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to his name. Let's go on a little further here. In verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, it has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now, the book of Isaiah is the same place where we read, and it says that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Amen? And with his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Now, he took, in order to use Isaiah in worship, while he was at church, he cauterized, he healed up the problem of his mouth, so that he can use his mouth for ministry. Amen? But he says that this iniquity was taken away and his sin was purged. Iniquity is the guilt and the hidden stuff that you got down on the inside. We know what we do wrong, the sin that we have. And he took that away, but the iniquity, that's why he said he was bruised for our iniquity. Iniquity is something under the surface. What is a bruise? A bruise happens under the surface. Come on and say amen. You may not be split open and bleeding, but you're bleeding underneath. Hallelujah. So he told him, he said, I'm going to heal you of your sin and the stuff that's under the surface. When you can get in the presence of God, there are some things under the surface you don't know about me. But God will take care of that. Come on and say amen. There's some things under the surface I don't know about you, but I don't need to worry about that. All I want to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Can I get a witness from somebody in here today that I got some stuff under the surface that God is dealing with me about? I got some stuff when I go into worship, God says that all this stuff is behind you now. Come on in to my throne of grace and I'll give you mercy. That's why we can go boldly to him. Oh, come on and say amen. I'm covered by the blood. The blood is applied to my life. And so when I go before the Lord, he don't see me in my iniquity. He don't see me in my sin, but he sees me through the blood. Through the blood. I'm covered with the blood. The blood is the life of a thing. I'm covered with the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. In verse 8. He says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying. Now, we understand that he had a vision.